Sports Radio 92.9, the game, back with you here on the Mitch Evans Experience. So we talked a little bit about Texas Tech. Now let's talk about the real Tech. That's Georgia Tech. And got to think that the way things have been going the last 4 years now with Paul Johnson, after two very good years to start things, that the natives are getting a bit restless on the flat. Somebody who certainly knows a whole lot about what's going on when it comes to Georgia Tech sports is Matt Winklejohn. He writes for RamblinWreck.com. He's with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. And Matt, how you doing? You getting ready for the season?
Yeah, I'm ready for some football. I think just about everybody is, Mitch. I'm sure you're on that list.
Yes, I am. I'm on that list. You're on that list. Someone who's not on that list, though, is Vad Lee. Whatever you want to say about him, he is now gone from the flats. The reports on Justin Thomas are he's extremely athletic and talented, but he's just a sophomore. So what's a realistic expectation from him this season? And also, with him, are they capable of showing the pass more?
It's hard to answer the last question first, because I think they showed the pass more last year than Paul Johnson truly wanted to, as he attempted to cater to Vad Lee. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to see them throw more than they did last year, which is to say they're not going to throw a lot. But that will be the case only if the running game ramps back up to Paul Johnson's expectations. You know, they made some tweaks in what they did last year. They incorporated some shotgun and some of that pistol formation in the first part of the year, ostensibly to try and cater to what they thought was Vad Lee's, not only his skill set, but his wish list. And, you know, they had modest success with some of those adaptations early, because normally Paul runs that offense entirely with the quarterback under center. Well, Vad Lee arrived at Georgia Tech never having taken a snap from under center in his high school career. So they made these modifications once Vad became the starter. And like I said, it was somewhat effective early in the season, but when they got on tape and more opponents could see what they were doing in those formations, it offered nothing. I mean, it was less successful than what they normally do. And also somewhat lost in the wash last year was his beloved triple option. Vad didn't run it with very well, period. And that's what Paul Johnson would prefer be the bulk of his offense. Last year it wasn't. And he wasn't trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. He said after many games, even when they would win early in the season, we're not running the triple option very well.
Right.
So if they run the triple option the way Paul wants to run it, they're going to run the ball that much more and pass the ball that much less than they did last year.
And the only reason why I bring that up is just because, you know, the way the offense is set up, if you fall behind, if you're having to play catch up, it's much more difficult to do that with the running game, even the way Georgia Tech has had success at running the football, more of a balanced type of thing, and keep teams guessing a little bit with the pass. There is a lot of senior experience in both the backfield and at wide receiver. Up front, though, other than senior right tackle Shaquille Mason, who's an all-ACC first teamer, how's the rest of that O-line shape up? I know there's some holes to fill.
Well, Trey Braun's going to be the left guard. They know that much. He started the bulk of last year, so they know they're set at their guard spots. And it looks like a lock now that Freddie Burden, redshirt sophomore, is going to be the center. He's a guy with a lot of talent. He would have been in the playing mix last year if it wasn't for injury, because he redshirted a couple years ago. And then there are some questions after that. More than likely, one of the tackles will be redshirt freshman Chris Griffin, a guy who they nearly took the redshirt off of last year. Kid from Florida. And then Brian Chamberlain started about a half dozen games last year, mostly at right tackle, and he's the leading candidate to be at right tackle again this year. So the only certainties on that O-line are Shaq Mason, and he's a really good one, and then Trey Braun, a few questions beyond that. But they've also got a little bit of a different approach on the offensive line this year, and that Paul Johnson's gone back to having a line coach and an assistant line coach. So there are a few more eyes on all these guys. They have more bodies at those O-line positions than they've had in a few years. There's 16, 17 offensive linemen in the program now. But that's where it's going to start. I mean, the efficiency of the quarterback in running the option and the play of the offensive line is going to make that offense go or not. And if it goes, then the passing game becomes that much better, because everybody loads for the run and they creep those safeties forward and they pop one over the top every now and then, like they did with Demarius a few years back.
We're talking with RamblinWreck.com's Matt Winklejohn about the upcoming 2014 Georgia Tech football season here on The Experience on 92.9 The Game. You can always follow Matt on Twitter, by the way, at M. Winklejohn, and that's W-I-N-K-E-L. J-O-H-N. Let's talk some defense. Jeremiah Tauchu's gone. So too is the 4-3 scheme, giving way to a 4-2-5 setup. What are the challenges for Ted Roof as we get ready for the season with that?
Well, first and foremost, up front, you know, he lost three of the four defensive line starters. Most easily recognizable was Jeremiah, as you said. He's doing his thing now in the NFL. And the guy they envisioned replacing him, Jabari Hunt-Days, a rising senior, former linebacker, much like a Tauchu that they saw converting to that rush-in spot like they did with a Tauchu a year earlier. Well, he was declared economically ineligible in the spring. He's still with the team. He's still practicing. All signs point to him being on the field in games next year. But then who becomes that rush-in? And they've had some other attrition along the D-line, inside and on the edges, with transfers and people being dismissed from the program and so forth and so on. So the only starter who's back is tackle Adam Gotsis. He's a really good one. Big frame guy from Australia. Got a background in Australian football. Was second on the team last year in tackles for loss yardage to Jeremiah. But question beyond that. If Sean Green stays healthy, he's a senior, he's going to be the other tackle. But at the ends, you know, in all likelihood, true freshman Keshawn Freeman's going to start at one spot. And he had a great spring after enrolling early. Tyler Stargell maybe at the other end spot, but it's going to be a committee thing. And one of the candidates that they were placing a lot of stock in, Kendarius Whitehead, a transfer from Georgia Military College, didn't get all the work done he needed to in summer school and so forth at Georgia Military. So he, like Jabari Hunt-Days, can practice, but he can't play this year. So a lot of questions up front. They're far more secure in the back. The linebacking core is fairly talented. But Adam Gotsis and the two safeties that returned after missing most or all of last year, Isaiah Johnson and Jamal Golden, those are going to be the keys to the defense. So they're going to probably have to trick things up a lot because they're not going to get a consistent pass rush in all likelihood out of that front four by itself.
Sounds a lot like the Falcons in a 4-2-5 with no pass rush.
Doesn't it? Yeah, there are some similarities there, no question about it. I mean, this is not Ohio State's defensive line where you got four monsters up front and three or four more monsters in waiting in reserve. They don't even know yet. They've put out a two deep, but they really don't know yet and won't until they play those first four non-conference games who they can count on up front. And in the meantime, Ted Roof's going to have to figure out, okay, how much am I going to have to blitz?
Yeah.
How often am I going to have to disguise, et cetera, et cetera. But I think there are going to be a lot of moving parts through the first month of the season on defense.
Tech should be 3-0 heading to Blacksburg against Virginia Tech to open up the ACC portion of the schedule. Do you look at that game as a possible linchpin to what transpires the rest of the way in the conference?
Well, obviously, every time, no matter who you play, your ACC opener is important to get a feel, hopefully set a template for the way you want the rest of the conference season to go. But I'm a little hesitant to overstock that game yet until we see what's going on in these first four games. And, I mean, not so much the Wofford game they open with, but they go to Tulane the following week. Tulane figures to be a pretty decent squad. That'll be down there in their newly remodeled stadium.
Right.
The place is going to be jacked up. It's sold out. That's kind of a peculiar road trip. And then the Georgia Southern game is going to be very interesting because clearly having run Paul's offense down there for years, they know what they're getting into. Preparing for Paul's offense is not as great a task for them as it would be some opponents. First time the two schools have ever played, it'll be interesting. I think that game, as much as any, at least in the month of September, is going to give a really good idea whether or not Tech can break out of this holding pattern they've been in for the last 4 or 5 years. Or if they're going to have to fight tooth and nail just to stay right in that spot where they're winning, you know, seven games a year.
Hey, real quick, Tech plays all of its games on Saturday this season for the first time since 1992. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because they're 4-9 under Paul Johnson in games not played on Saturday. Is there anything to that?
Well, I think one of the things to that is that encounters some bowl games, including the Orange Bowl a few years back against a very good Iowa team that wasn't on a Saturday and so forth. I have mixed feelings on whether or not that whole thing about games not played on Saturday, games played where the opponent's coming off of a bye, whether or not that works against Tech. But the record is the record. It's hard to come up with too much concrete evidence that it's not a big deal. One of the simple ways to look at that is usually when games are not played on a Saturday, it's either a Thursday game where you've had a really short week, or it's the game after a Thursday game,
and it's so there's like 10 days. Yeah.
Right. And an opponent has that much more time to get ready for that unique offense. Coach Johnson cannot stand it when that question is raised. It's kind of humorous because it comes up every year. It won't this year, at least not until bowl season. You could play that one either way. You could absolutely say there's something to it because the record's pretty sizable. 13 games is a good sample size. Or you could say, hey, in some of those games, you know what? They've played some pretty darn good opponents. So, and a lot of times those games are later in the season where Georgia Tech's already limited depth is more of a factor. And that works against the Jackets sometimes.
Wrapping things up with Matt Winklejohn of RamblinWreck.com with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline on 92.9 The Game. Look, we know the numbers. I brought it up at the top. First two seasons at Tech, very successful. Paul Johnson, 19-7, won the Coastal Division twice or was tied one of those years. Went to a BCS Bowl, the Orange Bowl that you brought up, 1-1 against Georgia. Last four seasons, complete opposite, 28-25. No conference championships, 1-3 in bowl games, 0-4 against Georgia. Is this a make or break it year for Paul Johnson?
It's certainly the closest thing to a make or break season that he's seen in these last two or three, you know, because his athletic director has been on the job now for about a year and a half. He's been through an entire cycle with Paul Johnson as the head coach. I don't think Mike Babinski is a guy who, by his nature, wants his own people in all the high chairs, mm-hmm. meaning the football coach and so forth and so on. However, I mean, if this team doesn't exceed expectations, because let's be frank, they're picked by the ACC media to finish fifth in the Coastal. If they finish fifth in the Coastal, Paul Johnson's in a world of hurt. And that's not, I mean, that's pretty obvious at just about any school in the ACC that would be the case. You know, if you're winning seven games a year and you're picked fifth in a given year and you finish fifth, you know, that's probably not going to get the job done long term. He's been a victim somewhat of the expectations he created those first couple years, and then he's kind of settled in a pattern very much like what Georgia Tech was in for years prior under Chan Gailey. Not much better, not much worse. The difference I think most people would push forward would be to say that more of the players that Chan was recruiting were ending up in the NFL. The Jackets have six people from last year's defense that are in NFL camps right now. It doesn't mean they'll all make teams and so forth. But the bottom line is, for all the people who love to theorize that ACC opposition has figured out the offense and so forth, my theory is, what's really happened in the last 4 or 5 years is Tech hasn't recruited well enough. They haven't had enough high-quality Division I football players. And it would be hard to dispute that, not just based on who's been drafted and who's not and so forth, but you can just see the manpower disadvantage in some of these games in recent years. And they need better players. They need more of them. And they're recruiting as well now, oddly enough, as they have at any point probably in Paul Johnson's tenure, but that needs to continue. And in the meantime, people that are in the program got to step up and get it done.
No question about that. Hey, looking forward to the season. Looking forward to speaking to you over the course of the season. Of course, it all gets underway in less than 2 weeks, so it's almost upon us. Matt Winklejohn of RamblinWreck.com. Thanks as always, buddy.
Take care, Mitch. Have a great evening.